Good morning. Always a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. Pleasure to be amongst family, friends, believers, just sharing, you know, just experiences and everything about the great life of being a Christian, right? Pray for me. I've been up here and I've preached. I've been a chairman. Oh, I'm allowed to take this off. Thank you. I've been up here several times. But I got to ask the leadership if I could get some additional lessons and courses on just staying on par with my notes, that, you know, like I get ahead of myself sometimes. It happens, you know what I mean? So just pray for me. But we got this. We got this. Right. Definitely. So there we go. All right, let's open in a word of prayer. God, we are just so excited today, Lord, just to be able to come to you with open arms, Lord, open hearts, Lord. We're just thankful for everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do for us, Lord. We know how amazing of a God that you are, Lord, and that alone is just exciting for us, Lord. And it just gives us the fuel and the encouragement to continue to just go out and just want to just be thankful for everything that you've done, Lord. We think of all of those who are far and near, our family, our friends, Lord. We just pray that you'll just continue to just watch over us, Lord. We pray for the leadership of this church, Lord. We and all the plans that they have as they continue to do all the different things that they need to continue running the operations of the church, Lord. We think of everyone who is going out each and every day, Lord. We don't know what the day holds, but you hold the day, Lord. And we're just so thankful that we have you on our shoulders to be our foundation, Lord, to back us up, to keep us, to give us the warmth that we need in our hearts, Lord. We're just so thankful for everything, Lord. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. All right, so we're going to start off in Luke chapter 10 this morning. And we're going to be going to the good old popular, you know, never gets worn out parable of the Good Samaritan. So from verse 25, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I'll just begin reading really quickly. We'll go through it really quickly. And behold, a certain man came up, stood up, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 28. And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, verse 30, Jesus answered, said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." 32. "And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him and fell among the thieves? And he said, verse 37, and he said, show mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God. I pray he had his richest blessing for his namesake. So I chose this. Well, first of all, I'm titling this message. It had a couple titles, but the one that I liked the most was The Heart of Giving. It made sense, at least at this point in this time of the year, because we have the holidays, we're amongst the holidays. We are usually looking to reflect and, you know, on the people that we love and care about, you know, particularly, you know, it could be friends, family, anyone who's in our close circles, you want to particularly give them a gift, right? So I thought I saw so much meat in this particular passage, not only in the parable itself, but surrounding that whole story as well. So we're going to get into that, right? The first gift that I wanted to discuss really quickly is the gift of patience, right? Now, in verse 25, right, he says, it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up. All right. Now, this part is like all the good news that we get about this particular person. Right. The role is it's a justifiable, proper role. Right. Because it's a lawyer. Now, it's not an actual like attorney like what we know today, but it's a person who is very good, who is educated on the religious law of the communities that they were in. Right. So he's a very well-versed man. In other versions, they call him an expert. Okay, so this guy knows his knowledge. He knows his stuff, right? Now, unfortunately, after this part, it goes downhill for him, right? Right? And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he goes right into it. I mean, he asked the billion-dollar question, right? I mean, it's a noble question to ask. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, encourage anyone to, you know, like, let me know, like, the way he asked the question, how do I inherit eternal life? I would like to hear, like, some opinions on if that's the right way to ask that question. I think I know what he's talking about, but that's for another day, right? Now, the thing is, he's an expert, so he's supposed to have a certain amount of knowledge on this. But where he goes the wrong way is him trying to tempt God, right? Now, you can, if you have a positive intention, then that's not tempting, that's encouragement, right? But he's trying to tempt God, so he already is giving this negative display to us, right? So here's the thing, right? You have this person, he's basically ready to debate in a way with Jesus, right? He's asking something that he already knows. We all know people like this, right? We know people like this. People, you know, Honda is better than Toyota. New York Knicks, better than the New York Nets. Jets are better than the Giants. Well, actually, nobody ever says that, but You know what I mean? Because there's people who truly believe that and they're ready to debate you on it. You can't prove them wrong, you know, or they just don't want to be wrong. We know people like that, right? So that's one half of it. Then the second half is, this is Jesus in this situation, right? Now, he's like, we know that people are always asking him questions. This isn't the first time this happened, but we don't know how many times. Like, it's recorded, you know, a certain amount of times that it has happened, but we're not sure if outside of what's recorded that it, you know, what, because he's around people all the time, right? So this is the whole situation. Now, the thing is, just to give you guys a setting on what's actually taking place here, right? He was in a really good mood. Jesus was actually in a good mood, right? In the beginning of Luke chapter 10, right? If we go up to verse 2, I believe, no, it was in verse 1. In verse 1, it's saying, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So in chapter 9, he has sent out the disciples, like his 12 disciples, to go out into the communities and preach the gospel, right? Certain communities, he sent the 12 disciples, right? Now, that's in chapter 9. In chapter 10, right, in the beginning of this, he sends another 70 people to go out and preach the gospel and dwell among people in the communities as well, right? So now when we come all the way down to I believe it was verse 21, right? This is when all of those people, those 70 people, they come back, right? And they're sharing stories amongst themselves and with Jesus, right? So everyone's in a good mood because they probably all had some really good success stories to share, right? So Jesus is hearing all of this stuff. He's sharing stuff with them too. And he's just in a really positive mood, right? So we see in verse 21, right? It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So basically, he's just very thankful that the word went out to people who was willing to hear it, right? Anybody. He sent people out to teach, and now a lot of these people are sharing those stories, and now he's thinking, he's praying to God because he's just feeling really good. Now, this is verse 21, and then this expert, right? You can't make this stuff up, like the way this whole thing is placed, because he's talking in a way, in that prayer, he says, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast come and hid these things from the wise and the prudent, right? Then in verse 25, just a few verses later, this expert comes who is supposed to know all of this stuff. You can't make this stuff up, man. Like, the way this is just, the flow of this thing is just so perfect, right? So it's like, speaking of, this guy shows up in verse 25, and now he's basically asking Jesus these questions, right? Patience. This is patience, because he basically bursted his bubble in a way, you know, at least that's what it seems like to me. So he goes and he asks that million-dollar question, right? And Jesus stopped. He just stopped. And then we see in verse 26 through 29, right? He's answering him right away. Despite how he feels, despite whatever is going on, he answers him right away, right? Patience. Because the thing is, any person could have just walked away. He didn't have to do that. But because this is Jesus, he does it. He's willing to stop and share now the gospel with this expert, right? So here's what's going on. In verse 26 through 29, unto him, what is written in law, how readest thou? Right? So we know all this stuff. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord and with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. By the way, this is a very impossible task, but he basically gave, like, based on his knowledge, like, he gave, like, a summary of what the law teaches from the Old Testament times, right? This is, like, stuff that's actually written in the Old Testament. And he summarizes it, and he says it to Jesus, and basically his response in 28 is that you're right. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live, right? But he's still going down the wrong path, right? But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor, right? And then Jesus continues now, and he ends up beginning to tell the story with this guy on the parable of the Samaritan. Now, this is like, now at this point, this is a full back and forth, right? It's not like it was just a high and by. Now he's like actually here investing his time now with this guy and trying to basically teach him some sort of knowledge, right? This leads to my next point, right? The gift of knowledge, right? It doesn't always, so we have the gift of patience. We have now the gift of knowledge. Now, Jesus overall was willing to share information. He's always just willing to just share the gospel and information with people. That's essentially, and the thing is, at that point in time, the gospel was moving and grooving. His ministry was moving and grooving. He had the 12 disciples plus the 70 that he was sending out into the communities to teach, right? So this is something that he was about, and this is another gift that we know that we can give people, right? Outside of resources, outside of money, outside of, like, you can give the gift of patience to somebody, and people will actually realize what you're doing and appreciate you for it, right? The next thing, which is what's happening now, is the gift of knowledge. He's now dedicating some time to give this guy a story in order to get his point across on what it is that he needs to know or based on what he's asking, right? So we have that. I mean, but it's just how well are we actually doing that as believers? Me, you, our friends, we all have our own life experiences, all right? A lot of us can sit for hours, you know, hours just talking about different life experiences that we have, right? We have different educational experiences, you know, different educational backgrounds that we are able to share with people who might not have been privy to that knowledge, right? This is essentially what Jesus was doing with the people around him. And this is the same thing that he can encourage all of us to do with the people who might not know that, but it's just depending on how well we're able to do something like that. But this is essentially what Jesus did. So, see, this is the part where I start getting lost in my notes. So he gives the answer, right? And now it's a follow-up, right? It's a whole back and forth. I'm on to the next page. That's why, right? It's a gift of patience. It's a gift of education that we are very able and possible to give to people, right? Now, the gift of time, that's something also that I mentioned. Now, the thing is, I said patience. The gift of time is something that could be differentiated between patience. Yeah, they're very often used interchangeably, right? But they can also be used separately. A person can, we might find this time of the year, you know what I mean? If you have kids, if you have family who is not living in your actual area and they might choose, or you might choose to travel to see them, you are giving them the gift of time, right? But that is not the same as a gift of patience. The patience requires a level of tolerance from a person, right? You sitting in traffic, That's patience, okay? Because it's you need a certain level of patience to basically not pull your hair out because you're not able to get to where you want to go, right? So that's another gift that we are very easily able to provide to people around us, right? That doesn't necessarily have to equate to you giving them something physically, but the value of what you are giving them in the time that you're giving them, in the education that you're giving them, the knowledge or the patience that you're giving them might be more worth more than the actual physical gifts that we're giving to people, right? To the people around us. So, and this is all before the parable even starts, that we see these things, right? So in verse 30, right? That's when, I believe in verse 30, that's when the story begins, right? He is now having this full back and forth. Jesus is now having this full back and forth with this lawyer based on what King James is saying, right? And the parable begins, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It's a horrible story because it was somebody that got beat up and stuff like that. But the rest of this, like after that part, the people who were just walking by this, I don't know, like this sounds like people from New York because, you know, if you go into the subway, I mean, you see crazy things all the time. You're seeing like the most random crazy things all the time. And we just know in our heads, like, I don't see anything. I need to just get home. I need to get to work. I'm running early this morning. There's nothing that's going to mess me up. You know, I just got to get to where I go. And there will be like the craziest things happening, right? I'm wondering if these were like tourists from New York, but it said, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. You know, I mean, if this was modern times, the only other thing that was missing is somebody like running up to record the whole situation. But that's besides the point, right? But and likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. Now, here's the good part. But this is like the hammer on the nail, right? Because a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him. And as we know, you know, Jerusalem, the road was from Jerusalem. So this is a Jewish city. Samaritans and Jewish people don't mesh. They are historically, and from what I understand, even right now, like the Samaritans that are still in existence today, there's still like some sort of like separation from them and the Jewish people and all the other people around them, right? Like, it's, believe it or not, it's still a thing right now. But so the thing is, like, the gifts that we have the opportunity to give people, this is something that basically is not only meant, Jesus does not only mean for us to give it to our close friends and family, right? This was someone who he was at odds with. Like, he's supposed to be, based on tradition, he's at odds with this person, right? But this Samaritan comes along and gives him his time, right? Now, it continues, right? And this is like a Sunday school story, but when I was studying this, I still learned something. You know, there was something that I realized here. Now verse 30, 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. These are all things that cost money, by the way, right? And set him in his own Mercedes-Benz, right? Basically a dying person, you pick him up and you put him inside of your car to basically take him to LIJ, or like this is essentially something that basically happened, right? Now, it's not only that. This is a person who you don't like, who you're not supposed to like, right? So he takes him, right? Picks him up, right? And then now here's the part that I learned, right? And this is something I will admit and tell you that I've brushed over this so many times, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he takes him to the place. My understanding was he took him to the inn, dropped him off, and then came back, right? I'm just being honest. This is what I thought. But he actually stayed with him when he took him there. And then on the morrow, which basically means the next day, that was when he departed. He didn't just throw him off, drop him off at the place, and then leave and come back, okay? He invested his actual time with this person who he doesn't know and is not supposed to be cool with, right? He stayed with him, and then the next day, on the morrow, which is what it says right here in verse 35, on the morrow, when he departed, that was when he left, the next day. He stayed with him, and then he left on the next day. And now here's the next thing, right? And then this is where we can get now into resources, right? The gift of resources, actual valuable gifts, right? Now, verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence in other, so this is basically coins. In other versions, it actually says that it's called denarii, which is like, I guess, the currency that they were using in that area. He took out 2 coins, and he gives it to the inn, to the innkeeper, right? And he says to look after them. Now, to put it in perspective, right? In, I believe it was in Matthew, there's mentions of this same currency, right? That was another parable. The parable of the workers in the vineyard, right? That was Matthew chapter 20. It's mentioning this same currency, denarii, right? And in that one, in that story, there was a guy who had workers working for him for over like 8 hours, right? Our current legal like day of work, right? Like, which is the 8 hours, maybe 9 if you want to do overtime and so on and so forth. But these people, like, there's mentions of people working like 11 hours, and he gave them 1 coin for that, right? So 1 denarii was basically equal to 1 day's worth of work, right? This Samaritan gave 2, right? 2 days worth of work in that currency to basically make sure that he is taken care of. This is the kind of gift giving that Jesus is teaching this guy as of right now. And this is the kind of gift giving that he is encouraging, right? Once again, it's not easy. Okay, this is where, you know, being Christ-like is just, it's just part of that, part of being a Christian. You know what I mean? Us trying to be as Christ-like as possible. But this is the example that he gave, right? So he gives them, and then he says, if you happen to go over those expenses, taking care of this guy in this place, you are now, you know, I'll give you extra on top of that, right? And that's how it closes, right? So which, in verse 36, which now of these three things, three thinkest, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves, right? And he said, verse 37, showed mercy on him, then said unto Jesus, unto him, go and do likewise. The end. So patience, the gift of time, the gift of knowledge, and then the resources. That was the point that I skipped. See what I'm talking about? This happens, right? But he appointed the innkeeper, right, to also take care of him while he was missing, right? So outside of like if a person is coming to you asking for information, but you are not an expert in that particular field, all right, it's still a gift to say, okay, but I can get this person for you. He knows way more about this than I do. All right. This is resources. These are resources. These are still actual gifts that people will appreciate that has value to it. You understand? So that's, it's December. It's, Christmas is a couple weeks away. And outside of the fact that, we are definitely reflecting on the birth of Jesus Christ, but we do, this is the time that we look to reflect on the people that have been around us, the people that we love, our friends and family, so on and so forth. So this all counts. The gift of time, the gift of patience, the gift of resources, and the gift of knowledge. All of this counts. Amen? All right. Amen. Lord God, we're just thankful for just your word today, Lord. We're just thankful and just excited because of who you are, Lord. And we're just just the teachings that you give us, the amazing teachings of the Bible and the examples that you left for us to go out and show and prove to everyone around us that we're different. People will look at us and say there's something different about that person, Lord, and it is only because of you. It's the light that you have placed in us, Lord, that sets us apart from everyone else, Lord. We pray that you continue to just keep that light burning inside of us, Lord, to continue giving us the energy and the willingness to continue to go on, Lord. It's not easy going through a week after week, day after day, Lord. We all know what we're going through, Lord. But Lord, you are above everything that we could be going through, Lord. And we're just so thankful for it, Lord. So all these things we bring to you in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.